Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Joshua, chapter 18. And in this chapter, there's 28 verses. And also, I'm going to be having Sharon read a few passages from the book of Philemon. Okay? And we're going to start out by asking the Lord to anoint everything that's said and done here on this tape. Father, anoint your words. And open up a channel from you, Lord. I know that it's already done. Where as many as two or more are gathered in your name, you're there also. And I pray, Lord, that you'll explain, allow me, that you will give me, and I know you already have given it to me, but I'm saying this for the sake of the people that are hearing, the meaning of these scriptures. And that you'll anoint the commentary very much. Let everything that's said on this tape be directly from you, Lord, and let it sink deep into everyone's spirit, inside their bodies, into their spiritual ears, and into the heart of their spirits. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start out. Now, I've been talking a lot about faith and that people have already got, have received a portion of faith because the Bible says that so. And the faith that we have is the faith of the Lord. We have, it's not our own faith, it's the faith of the Lord. We must have not just faith in Him, but it has to be the faith of the Lord, the Lord's faith. Because when we have the Lord's faith, then we're able to do whatever the Lord did and wants to do still in the world today. And it states in about so many different places in the New Testament that it's the Lord's faith that we have, the faith of the Lord. But I do not of myself, but it's the faith of the Lord that I do these things. And so when we first get saved, we have salvation in us, and we also have healing in us. We have resurrection. Every bit of the power that was in Christ we have in us. But the problem is that most people don't realize that we have all these very good things inside of us, and we have to acknowledge the good things that we have in us in order for them to work, to manifest themselves in this world. There is a heavenly world, and the Lord wants us to bring things from the heavenly world down into this world, into the physical world that we live in. And so He tells us to begin and start acknowledging the things, the very good things that we have in us, which is faith. The portion of faith is everyone has the same portion of faith. Amen.
Amen.
And we also have salvation. So we have the salvation from the faith of the Lord, because the Lord has the faith. And then we also have the healing, because that's the Lord's faith. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to have the Lord's faith, not in Him, but the faith of the Lord in order to be able, and we have to acknowledge that we have these good things in us in order for them to work in the world. We have victory in us. That's one of the other good things that we have in us. And also we have prosperity. We have whatever the Lord has. We have resurrection in us. Amen.
Amen.
We have eternal life in us.
Amen.
Immortal life. So all these good things. In verse 6 in this chapter, Philemon here tells us that we have to acknowledge. We have to the problem is that a lot of people have faith, the Christians have faith, but they don't acknowledge that they have them on a daily basis. And so the command here in the book of Philemon, in the 6th verse, is that we need to acknowledge them, not just one day, and then a few days not to acknowledge that we have salvation and healing in us. And if it's the same healing and salvation and prosperity and victory and resurrection that the Lord had in Him, because it's His faith that He gave to us, amen?
Amen.
Then, if we don't acknowledge it, well, then we cannot do the things that the Lord did on earth. We have to acknowledge these things that are in us in order for us to have the faith to pass them on to others. And so before I have Sharon read the first five verses, or all six verses, I'm going to have you read verse 6 to start out with. This is the important verse, and this is a very powerful verse if you learn to receive it. Okay, go ahead.
That the communication of thy faith...
Okay, so you have to have the communication of the faith that was given to you. The communication means the Lord's faith that he communicates to you, okay? Do you have that faith? Has it been communicated to you? When you turn on the TV or the radio, then it's communicating to you, right?
Right.
Okay. Is the Lord turned on enough to you that he's communicated to you that you have all these good things in you? Okay, so the communication of the Lord's faith. Okay, read that again.
That the communication of thy faith may become...
It becomes our faith. But it's still the faith of the Lord that he gave to us. If I have ice cream, and it's mine, and I give you the ice cream, well, it's yours now, but it's mine that I gave to you, right?
Right.
Okay, so you can eat it just like I can. Amen?
Amen.
So if Jesus had faith and he gives it to you, you can do the same thing with that faith that he gave you as he did with the faith that he had and gave to you. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, so now read it again.
That the communication of thy faith may become effectual.
It may do things in you. It may become effectual. That it will affect people. In other words, that you may remember that you have salvation. First of all, that you have faith. A lot of people have it, but they don't know what to do with it or how to use it. Amen?
Amen.
Just like I said the other day, electricity was here on the earth the very first day that the Lord said, let there be light. Amen?
Amen?
But poor Adam and Eve, they didn't know how to use the electricity. And neither did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or all the people that were begotten by them. And even the apostle, go down to Moses and then get down to all the other patriarchs in the Bible, such as Paul. There was electricity in those days, but they just didn't know how. They didn't have the knowledge to know how to use it. I mean, it was there from day one. Amen?
Amen.
On earth. But pity, you know. They had to use candles or bonfires or something and wait until the sun came up during the day. Okay, and then go ahead and read some more.
That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing.
You have to acknowledge every good thing that's in you. You have to remember that it's there. Because if you have faith that salvation is in you, then the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is in you also. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that God, that Christ had in him is in you too. He wants you to know. You have to acknowledge that. Amen?
Amen.
Read that again.
That by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you.
Okay, it's in you already, right?
Amen.
So the acknowledging of salvation, resurrection, healing, victory, amen?
Amen.
Prosperity,
amen.
The gifts of healing others. Because that was in Christ, and he gave it to you, and you have it in you. Amen?
Amen.
You can open up the faith of God that's in you, that he gave you. Can also, he's saying, if you acknowledge these things in you, have the power to open up deaf ears and to open up blind eyes. Amen?
Amen.
And to raise people up that are dead. And to people that have cancer, to heal them. If you acknowledge that and make it known to them that these gifts are in you, then you can pass them on to others, because words have power. The Bible says that words are powerful. They're so powerful that the words that you speak to people can bring them to life. or you can actually take a person that is alive and put them to death by the words that you say. You can move people to tears of joy by the things that, the words that you say that are in you from the Spirit of the Lord, or else you can with the spirit of Satan, or you could with the Spirit of the Lord as well, bring them to tears by rebuking them and showing them things. And if they're not willing to receive the things of the Lord, then they may be brought to tears because they just feel that it's too hard for them to change because they don't acknowledge all the good things that are in them. Faith, amen.
Amen.
We've all been given a portion of faith. We've all been given eternal life. We've all been given resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
We've all been given healing. Okay, by my stripes you were healed. You're already, it's already there. It's established. It's a done deal. It's already, God has already provided it for us. It's there. All right, but you have to acknowledge that all these things are there in order for them to be effectual, to have an effect on you and everybody around you, or anyone that's going to be around you in just daily living. And we also have the power in us to bring forth life or to bring forth death. And we also know that we're in order, and the Bible tells us in Mark and in Luke, for us to talk to the mountain. In other words, talk to the disease, and it will be cast out of us. Amen?
Amen.
Or out of somebody else. We have also the power to cast out devils. But the people have to, we have to acknowledge that that power is in us in order for us, we have to really believe it ourselves in order for something to happen. For the thing that the Lord, the good thing that the Lord has given us within us is there. A lot of people have all these good things, but they don't know it. They don't understand it, just like they didn't understand that there was electricity around. Amen?
Amen.
But God provided it. It was here all the time. Okay? Salvation was here all the time, but the people in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit of God living in them. Once in a while, the Spirit of the Lord would come down and dwell in them for a few moments to give them the Word of God, or to give them power, like he did Samson, to destroy the Philistines. Or from time to time, the Spirit of the Lord would come down and visit people, but the Spirit didn't convey all the good things that we have in us by Christ being in us. But the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in us now, and we have to acknowledge that good thing that's in us, because everything that is in Christ is in us. Everything that is in God is in us. It's already there. It's already provided for us. The faith, the salvation, the resurrection, the healing, the victory, the prosperity, the opening of blind eyes, the opening of the deaf ears, the casting out of devils, the raising from the dead, the breaking the bread and causing it to be multiplied, the walking on water. Amen?
Amen.
The walking on the trials and tribulations, the power over depression, the power over the enemy, the devil, the power to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We have to acknowledge it. So read that again. That's the reverse of it.
By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
See, because it's not, it's in you because Christ Jesus is in you. Amen?
Amen.
And all those good things like that are in him. And if he's in you, then you have everything he has. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go from verse 1. Is that the end of that verse?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go from verse... It's, you know, if people can take hold of that scripture, that's incredible power that you will receive. It will change your life from a powerless life to a life of complete power and dominion over every worldly thing, everything, because Jesus had the power over everything in this world. He conquered death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, the flesh, the world, everything. All right, so let's go ahead from the top.
Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God.
Okay, that's power of God and peace, the power of God in you, and all the good things are the power of God in you, and peace, which you, when you have all this power, you have peace because you know that you can ride on with Jesus, that no man can hinder you. Amen?
Amen.
Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder me. Amen?
Amen.
Power. Not weakness, but power. All right? You've got the power of the blood of Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit power to resurrect you from the dead. You've got the power of healing and salvation and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
You're not a weakling. You may be weak, but you're no longer weak because there's a song that says, I'm only human. I'm just a man. No, you're not. If you're saved, you're a God-man. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be saying that you're only human. This is the thing that the false prophets are saying daily on television and on radio, that you're only human. Was Christ only human?
No.
He was human, though. Amen?
Amen.
But he had another commodity about him and in him, and that was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him, and he said that he's already transferred that into us. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't be saying you're just human unless you just want to be human. But as for me and my house, or me and my friends, we're not just human. We're spirit. Okay? And in our spirit, we have the Spirit of the living God. We are God's people. He stated that he has made us the sons of God. That is no longer human. Amen?
Amen.
Though we're in a human body, we're also members of Christ's body spiritually, and we sit with him in heavenly places. That makes us more than human. Amen?
Amen.
That makes us, that's more than natural, that's supernatural. We're supernatural beings. Amen?
Amen.
So remember all the good things that are in you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Then what?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
You have to acknowledge all the things that are in you, okay? Adam and Eve were, they didn't have the knowledge that electricity was here, okay? But it was, amen?
Yeah.
A lot of people are, have these things in them, but you have to acknowledge them, that they're there. In order for, like, for instance, in order, you have to acknowledge that light is here, or electricity is. Otherwise, you won't have the knowledge to turn on the light. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, you have to remember, acknowledge, and show the Lord that you acknowledge that you believe by faith that you have salvation, that you have resurrection from the dead, that you have healing, hallelujah, and that you have victory in Jesus, and you have victory, you have over depression, you have victory over poverty, you have victory over all these things, because all these good things are in you, and they only work when we acknowledge them on a daily basis, not just when you're hearing this message, but you have to remember when you walk away from the Word of God, which is our mirror, that you have them. In James, it talks about people that read the Word, and they see that they have all these things, but then they turn away, they close the Bible, and they start living their day, everyday life, which is not supposed to be everyday life, but they walk away from the words, and then they just become natural again. They forget what manner of man they really are. And what does that mean? They forget that they're God men and God women. And you have to take that with you every moment of every day, because you never know when the Lord wants you to use those good things that are in you to bring forth life in others, to bring forth healing in others. There was a call that came in today that there was a woman, this Curtis, who used to fix our cars, and we still do business with him in the Arkansas area. And they said his wife is in the hospital dying. And I told him, well, that's what the doctors are saying, and that's what you're saying. But what does the Lord say? Does the Lord say that we're healed?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That we have faith? And that they, I said, if they wanted to know if some of them could go visit her, and I said, yes, but not if you're going to go in there believing that she's going to die. Okay? Because that's what the natural body says, that's what the natural doctors say, and that's what natural Curtis says, and that's what you just forgot that you had good things in you of healing. That's just what you said, but you're not going into that hospital unless you go in there with the knowledge that this woman, if she that she's healed by God's, if she's born again, then you have to turn the electricity on and let her know that electricity exists in the world, and so does Jesus exist in her. Amen?
Amen.
And if Jesus is in her, then she has salvation, healing, victory. She has prosperity, and victory and prosperity. Dearly beloved, I would that your souls prosper, that you would prosper as your souls prosper. That means healing. Now, if you're keeping the commandments of the Lord, all these good things mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy are yours. That none of the diseases of Egypt or the diseases that are on the earth today will hinder you at all. All right? So receive and acknowledge the things that are in you and pass them on today, one day at a time. In the name of Jesus, do it, because it's recorded in the Word of God. And if you have faith to believe the Word, and you have the faith to believe the Word of God, so then don't neglect those good things that are in you, okay? Otherwise, they will not ever be effectual in you. They will not affect you or anyone else. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. So now let's go over to the book of Joshua, chapter 18, 28 verses here. Go ahead.
Joshua chapter 18, the allotments of the remaining land. King James Version, verse 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there.
See, they had enough faith to walk for 40 years. They were told to walk 40 years in the desert. They had faith enough to be delivered from Egypt. You had to have faith to do that. And you had to have faith when you're looking up into the air and you see the pillar of cloud up there leading you, and the pillar of fire leading you. And Moses said that God told him that he's taken them into the promised land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's exactly what happened here. And now they're all getting, they're there now. And they're getting all this land allocated to them. And so they had faith, or else they wouldn't be able to get there. Amen?
Amen.
You have faith to believe that when you go to the sink, you turn on the water and it's going to turn, you know, water's going to come out, right?
Right.
And does it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and so you have faith that you've got to put your shoes on. Amen? And your glasses, if you, whatever, your clothing. You have faith to do these things because it's the proper thing to do. And you have faith that if you sit down on a chair that it's going to hold you. Amen?
Amen.
And that gravity is going to keep you on the chair. You're not going to be floating off or have to strap yourself down to the chair. Amen?
Amen.
So they had faith to believe that when they saw the Red Sea open up, that gave them a certain amount of faith. They saw the firstborn of Egypt being destroyed because they didn't acknowledge the blood of Jesus, the Messiah that was to come to the world. And so they crossed the Jordan, and it opened up for them, and that gave them faith. And then they destroyed all the different kings, you know, and took over the land, just like the Lord said for them to do. And they were just a bunch of slaves. They weren't so fortified like the cities were over in the Promised Land. But we have to have faith if we want to make it to the Promised Land, okay? Or the land of promise, the kingdom of heaven. So we have to have faith in all these things, and we have to do the works of Christ. He said greater works would we do in these days because that he would be in us and it would be him doing the work, but we have to acknowledge that he, the good thing, and all the good things that are in him are in us as well. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the work of the Lord. Not to just read the Bible to learn what it says, as the Pharisees did, but to start putting our faith into action, to acknowledge all the good things that are in us and begin making them work. Because when the Lord's Spirit moves on you to pray for somebody, that you do it. When the Lord puts it on your heart to go witnessing, then you better go do it. Okay? Or when he moves on you to pray, then you better pray. Because it's the Lord in you telling you to do these things. That's the intuition, the Spirit of the Lord's telling you, moving on you to do the things that he wants you to do. And they're all the things of the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel these things. And if you didn't read the Word of God, you wouldn't understand the faith that you have in you. Because the Word of God, you study that to have the understanding that how to get the electricity on. You already have the electricity in you. You already have the Lord in you. You already have salvation and resurrection and healing and all these things. But you have to understand the Word of God. You have to read it in order to be able to use your faith to make the Word of God to make your faith work. Or to put it into operation, to make it effectual. You understand? Okay? So that's why we read the Word of God, because faith, to understand the Word of God and to cause it to be effectual, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So therefore, there's no other way, the Bible says, that we can understand or how to put our faith to work or to have faith than to read the Word of God. So if you don't have faith, don't be praying for it. Read the Word of God to have. You've already been given the portion of faith, so you have it. So don't pray for more faith. Just read the Word of God to put the faith that you have into operation. Amen?
Yeah.
All the good things that you have in you are there. It's already been provided for you. And the Lord wants you to learn how to use them, just like he taught all the people in the world how to use electricity. Amen?
Yeah.
It's there. It's already provided for you. Have faith in that and begin using and bring into your remembrance the effectual, the good things that are in you, so that they can be put into action, so that they can become effectual, affect the world. Okay? Don't worry, the world is affected very much when they see the dead raised, when they see demons cast out, when they see all the other things, and that the Bible tells you the blind eyes open and the ears of the deaf open up, and all these different diseases in the world today, when they see them healed, then people begin believing, because they believe what they can see. So we're supernatural beings, and we live in the heavenly realm, but the Lord wants us to pull the heavenly supernatural things from heaven into this world, into the natural world, so that the natural people can see them, so that they can believe to be supernatural. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead. Now, these people believed that they were going to get the land, and that's why they've got it. Amen?
Amen.
God said that they were going to have it, and here they are right here now. They've got it. And you've got to remember that you've got it, too. The kingdom of heaven is within. Amen?
Amen.
Believe that you've got it already. And start conquering things. Some of them didn't use what the Lord said. They didn't have faith enough to destroy the Canaanites. And so we have to destroy all the Canaanites in us, all the doubts, all the fears, all the depressions that are in us. How can you be depressed when you have all these good things in you? Amen?
Amen.
How can you not have acknowledged the faith that the Lord has given you when he said that even if you just use a little bit of that faith that he gave you, the grain, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, you have to remember the Bible says that you have to talk to the mountain. Don't talk to God about your disease or your depression. Talk to your depression about God. Talk to your disease about God. talk to your whatever evil thing that's attacking you about God. There was a little girl in her room, and a burglar was crawling through the window, and she says, "You better not come in any further, because the Lord Jesus Christ will punish you severely if you come into this house. You're a robber, and you're of the devil, and you better get out of here." And the devil just crawled back out of the window. He couldn't stand the word of God. She had faith to believe that you have to speak to that devil that's coming through the window. Amen?
Amen.
And you have to have faith in the Lord enough to talk to your depression that's trying to get into the windows of your soul, which is your eyes. If you see something that is satanic, if you see something that causes you to lust, then you better talk to it and turn your way from it, because the Lord said to do that. Do you understand?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Because it's not going to do your soul to continue looking at it and lusting at it at all. Just rebuke it. And the Bible says that if we... If somebody offends us, to rebuke them, and if they say they're sorry and they want forgiveness, we're to forgive them 7 times a day, amen. And then later on it says 70 times 7. Okay, so that is what takes the most faith, is the faith that it takes to go through everyday life, to love people, to minister to people, to be concerned about that. Everyone can have faith when you see the dead raised and demons cast out and the eyes open and the ears heard and somebody grow a leg where there was no leg, or whatever the Lord does, that doesn't take. But to faith, the Lord wants us to put that into operation with charity, to show love one to another and to forgive one another. Because if you don't do that, then you're not using your faith that is already in you. Yeah, you're not even acknowledging the good things that are in you, the power that's in you. Okay, so these people are acknowledging it. They're taking the land over. They've taken it over. They're establishing it as Israel. All right, go ahead.
And the land was subdued before them.
See, they subdued it. Then what?
Verse 2. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance.
Yeah, well, see, that's the same thing as people not receiving the good things that are in them. Amen?
Amen.
You want to receive your inheritance, which is eternal life? Okay, healing? You haven't received it yet. It's there. You want to receive prosperity and healing and resurrection, don't you? It's all those, a lot of good things. Amen?
Amen.
Victory over everything. Okay, keep going. They hadn't received it yet. And have you received all the good things that are in you? Do you acknowledge them every day? Because you're commanded to do that in order to make them effectual in the world, to affect people and yourself in the world. Okay, then what else?
Verse 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you?
How long are you slack in receiving the kingdom of heaven? Eternal life, salvation, healing, all these things. How come you don't do that? When it's there, it's already been given to you, it's established, amen?
Amen.
So you see how this works all the way through the Bible?
Yes.
They're just sitting there strumming their lips. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Sucking on their thumbs. Okay, what else?
Verse 4, give out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. Verse 5, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. Verse 6, ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. Verse 7. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Verse 8, and the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that they went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh.
Right. Now, Joshua is in charge, and he says, the Bible says, to obey those that have the ruler. He's the ruler. And so if they didn't do that, well, then Joshua would have to put them to death, because they, and God would put them to death as well, one way or the other, because they didn't obey those that had the rule, him that had the rule over them. Okay? So you just must do that, because if you're a servant or a slave of the Lord, you're obligated to do everything that he says and do it quickly. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, the work of the Lord will not get done. The Lord wanted them to have all this land, to establish it as a land of his people. His people that have faith, and he wants us to establish himself here in this world. He wants the kingdom of heaven to be here on earth and to be ruled on earth here as it is in heaven, for there to be rulership here. And if you argue with rulership, or you doubt rulership, well, then you're already gone. You're not acknowledging the Word of God. You're not, and therefore the Word of God is spirit and it's life. You're not acknowledging, it's like you don't want life, and you don't want God's spirit, which is the power, which is the grace. Power is grace. Power is truth. If you're a liar, that shows that you don't want anything to do with the truth. All you do is exalt Satan. Satan lives in you, and you just want to keep lying all the time to people and pretending that you're Christians and not acknowledging the good thing that the Lord commands you to do. These people are the elders, and you have to obey the elders. And then when you have an elder of you that's telling you what these elders say, so that you can have the faith in you to prove that you have the faith to do the things that the Lord says, so that the good things that are in you, the effect, can be effective in this world. If you refuse to do that, well, then there's no way that the Lord will be able to reveal himself through you, because you're just saying, no, there is no electricity in the world. And even though you can see it, now that you see the electricity, you believe it. But the Lord says that blessed is he that believeth and he has not seen. Faith is, we walk by faith, which means we can't see the kingdom of heaven right now, but we know that God promised them the Canaan land, a land of their own here on this earth, and that he gave it to them. And so we therefore are able to have faith in that when he says there's a kingdom of heaven waiting for us and a resurrection that defies gravity. Jesus defied gravity when he rose up into the kingdom of heaven. The two witnesses defy gravity when they are taken up into the kingdom of heaven. And those that are have faith and have the same faith, the same Spirit of God living in them that Christ had in him, if they have that in them, they too will defy gravity, and they will ascend up into the kingdom of heaven to be with the Lord forevermore. All right, so these people, he says, how long are you people not going to have faith? Now, take the land. Okay, now the Lord says, take this world. He says, the righteous take it by force and violence. They command the word of God to be believed. And some people will say, well, you have these things, you're saying all these things, but we have common sense. Common sense is godly sense. It means that you believe what God says, because there's no common sense to anything that's happening on this earth today. Nothing has got common sense to it. The things that they're doing on earth today is slaughtering 30 million babies. Does that make common sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so they say that we're foolish to preserve 30 million babies. No, they're fools, because they don't believe that God's going to punish them for first-degree murder. They are committing adultery and fornication in the world today, homosexuality and lesbianism. Is that common sense when you can read in the Bible that it says that you're going to be destroyed for doing such things as that? That isn't common sense. The Word of God is the only truth and the only thing to believe. Now, you've got the faith in you, but you must use it to exercise power and dominion over sin. Satan, your flesh, the world, so that God can cause you to defy death, hell, and the grave, and to defy the law of gravity and make it to where you have the ability to rise up from the dead and up into the kingdom of heaven so that you can live there forevermore with the Lord. All right, so you have to begin acknowledging these things in you, or you will not be saved on the last days. You will not enter heaven, and believe me, believe the Word of God. Study the Scriptures to see if I'm telling you the truth or not. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 9, and the men went and passed through the land, and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh.
See, they believed in authority. All right, they didn't look at the authority and stare at him like, like demons. They did what he said, and so therefore the land became theirs, at least for a while. And then they abused. They stopped believing in authority, and that's when they had all this trouble that you see them having, and that's why so many of them died in the death camps, in Auschwitz and other concentration camps in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Germany, and so on. And God will do the same thing. If he did that to his chosen people, what do you think he'll do to you? All right, then what else?
Verse 10, and Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. Verse 11, and the lot of the tribe of the children of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. Verse 12, and their border on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side, and went up through the mountains westward, and the goings out thereof were at the wilderness of Bethaven. Verse 13, and the border went over from thence toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, southward. And the border descended to Ataroth Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side of the nether Beth Horon. Verse 14, and the border was drawn thence, and compassed the corner of the sea southward, from the hill that lieth before Beth Horon, southward. And the goings out thereof were at Kirjath Baal, which is Kirjath-Jearim, a city of the children of Judah. This was the west quarter. Translation, verse 1 through 14. The allotments of the remaining land. Now that the land was under Israelite control, the entire Israelite assembly gathered at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle. Verse 2. But there remained seven tribes who had not yet been allotted their inheritance. Verse 3. Then Joshua asked them, quote, how long are you going to wait before taking possession of the remaining land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given to you?
How long are you going to wait until you start using all the faith that the Lord has given you? How long are you going to wait until you even use one grain of a mustard seed of faith of what the Lord has given you? How long are you going to wait? When are you people going to start receiving the gifts from the Lord and all the victory that is there and all the healing and all the casting out of devils and the casting out of deafness and blindness and all these other things? How long are you going to wait before you take what God has given you already? How long are you going to start believing not in electricity, because you already believe in that now after so many thousands of years? When are you going to start receiving the Lord, what the Lord has given you? Because the Lord gave us electricity from day one. Amen?
Amen. Verse 4. Select 3 men from each tribe, and I will send them out to survey the unconquered territory. They will return to me with a written report of their proposed divisions of inheritance. Verse 5. The scouts will map the land into 7 sections, excluding Judah's territory in the south and Joseph's territory in the north. Verse 6. Then I will cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord our God to decide which section will be assigned to each tribe. Verse 7. However, the Levites will not receive any land. Their role as priests of the Lord is their inheritance. And the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh won't receive any more land, for they have already received their inheritance, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them on the east side of the Jordan River. Unquote. Verse 8. As the men who were mapping out the land started on their way, Joshua commanded them, quote, "Go and survey the land. Then return to me with your written report, and I will assign the land to the tribes by casting sacred lots in the presence of the Lord here at Shiloh." Unquote. Verse 9. The men did as they were told and mapped the entire territory into 7 sections, listing the towns in each section. Then they returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh. Verse 10. There at Shiloh, Joshua cast sacred lots in the presence of the Lord to determine which tribe should have each section. The land given to Benjamin. Verse 11. The first allotment of land went to the families of the tribe of Benjamin. It lay between the territory previously assigned to the tribes of Judah and Joseph. Verse 12. The northern boundary began at the Jordan River, went north of the slope of Jericho, then went through the hill country and the wilderness of Beth-Aven. Verse 13. From there the boundary went south to Luz, that is Bethel, and proceeded down to Adroth Adar, to the top of the hill south of the lower Beth-Horon. Verse 14. The boundary then ran south along the western edge of the hill facing Beth-Horon, ending at the village of Kirjath-Baal, that is Kirjath-Jearim, one of the towns belonging to the tribe of Judah. This was the western boundary. King James Version, verse 15. And the south quarter was from the end of Kirjath-Jearim, and the border went out on the west and went out to the well of waters of Nephtoah. Verse 16. And the border came down to the end of the mountain that lieth before the valley of the son of Hinnom, and which is in the valley of the giants on the north, and descended to the valley of Hinnom to the side of Jebusai on the south, and descended to En-Rogel. Verse 17. And was drawn from the north, and went forth to En-Shemesh, and went forth toward Geliloth, which is over against the going up of Adumim, and descended to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. Verse 18. And passed along toward the side over against Arabah, northward, and went down unto Arabah. Verse 19. And the border passed along to the side of Beth Hogla, northward, and the outgoings of the border were at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of Jordan. This was the south coast. Verse 20. And Jordan was the border of it on the east side. This was the inheritance of the children of Benjamin by the coasts thereof round about, according to their families. Verse 21. Now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, and Beth Hogla, and the valley of Kiziz. Verse 22. And Beth Arabah, and Zemaraim, and Bethel. Verse 23. And Avim, and Perah, and Ophrah. Verse 24. And Kephar Haim, Moni, and Ophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages. Verse 25, Gibeon and Ramah and Beeroth. Verse 26, and Mizpah and Kephira and Mozah. Verse 27, and Rechem and Irpiel and Taralah. Verse 28, and Zelah, Eleph, and Jebusai, which is Jerusalem, Gibeath and Kirjath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Benjamin according to their families. translation, verse 15 through 28.
And we're not going to go through all of them because it's just a matter of talking about the cities. And if you need to go over them again, because you're a person that really loves to know all about geography and the borderlands, so you can go through the first of the King James Version. So we'll go here for a while. Then what?
Verse 15. The southern boundary began at the outskirts of Kirjath-Jearim. From there it ran westward to the spring at the waters of Nephtoah. Verse 16.
Okay, so now it's pretty much all cities and boundaries. All right, so let's go into the commentary now. All right, because some commentary.
18 verse 1. Shiloh was a city in Ephraim, about 35 miles north of Jerusalem. This new site was chosen for the erection of the tabernacle, probably because of its central location. The Ark of the Covenant remained there for over 100 years, until it was captured in a battle with the Philistines. 1 Samuel 4 verse 1 through 11.
Philistines.
Philistines. 18 verse 2 through 3. Seven tribes had not received their allotments. Joshua's rebuke suggests the reason, their own complacency and laziness. 18 verse 4 through 8. Joshua proposed that three men from each of the seven tribes survey the remaining land, write a description of it, and divide it into seven parts. Joshua would then draw lots to determine which part the Lord wanted each of the seven tribes to receive. 18 verse 11 through 28. Benjamin's portion was north of Judah and south of Ephraim. Their portion contained 26 cities, including Jerusalem. Though the territory was small, the land was strategically located both militarily and commercially. 18 verse 1 through 10. Despite a general rest from war, the various tribes of Israel had not yet claimed their inheritance. Joshua chided them for their failure to recover that which God had apportioned for them, that he had given to them. He then gave practical guidance as to how the remaining tribes should divide up the land. The tribes who earlier had not aggressively claimed their inheritance finally took action and followed Joshua's advice. Sometimes we have to be spurred into action by others or the wrath of God. Maybe we don't have the courage to act or the faith in God. Or perhaps we don't realize that we need to fear God and keep His commandments.
Yeah, we don't acknowledge those good things that are in us on a daily basis and all throughout each day. And therefore, we're ineffective in the world for the Lord. And He wants to be effective, and you're frustrating. And the Bible says to not frustrate the Holy Spirit. All right, then what?
So we must listen to the advice of the wise, the godly leaders, recognizing that they can see our situation more objectively than those of you who cannot see it. 18 verse 5 through 8. Casting lots to determine God's will was one means that God used to communicate with His Old Testament people. See Leviticus 16 verse 8 through 10, Numbers 26 verse 55 through 56, Jonah 1 verse 7.
The New Testament is different. Now we walk by the Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit. It's another law. We have the law of gravity, but then there's also the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And then there's another bad law. It's the law of sin and death. Amen.
Amen.
So we have to walk by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right, then what?
Lots normally were either stones or sticks with identification marks that were placed into the fold of a garment or into a vessel and shaken until one fell out. The one that came out indicated God's will. It is sad to see some today continuing to make decisions as if they were rolling dice to discover God's will. Now we walk in the Spirit, and we can ask the Lord, and He just tells us. The Holy Spirit teaches us everything. We don't need to roll dice. We don't have to do any of those kind of things.
It's the same thing as we don't have to take lots or draw straws or things like that. We walk by faith,
straws don't work, dice doesn't work, playing drawing cards doesn't work. Okay, let's walk by faith in the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
The law of the Spirit of life. Then what?
We have God's Word and His Spirit to form the foundation of every decision we make.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 8 of the book of Joshua, and also Philemon chapter verses 1 through 6. And you would do well to meditate on that today. And if you happen to live another day, well, then I would meditate on that tomorrow. Begin using and acknowledging the good things that are in you, and start putting them to use, because that's what the Lord wants you to do. Until chapter 19, God bless you and praise the Lord.